Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, our listeners, and share your comments and thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And look, we're not experts. We're just podcast hosts. So please always seek support first and foremost from a doctor and our mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us and leave us one of those comments or thoughts or questions, our voicemail is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Dori, I just thought of something.
Mm-hmm.
What if we did like a dare and we like dared listeners to call the voicemail and like sing their favorite TV jingle?
I mean, you're the one who gets the voicemails, so if you wanted to wade through all those voicemails,
but do you think
be
anyone,
my guest.
Do you think anyone would do it?
Sing their favorite TV
jingle? Just pulled that out of my butt.
Oh, like, sure.
It could be anything.
Sure.
Just a thought.
Okay.
I'm just going to... A loving dare. I don't like mean dares.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a challenge.
That's a better word. That's a better word.
Thank you.
Speaking of songs, we received an email from a listener who had a specific connection to the single soundtrack.
She sure did.
This listener wrote in. You may recall that we talked very excitedly about the single soundtrack on a previous mini episode. Dori started DJing.
I did.
DJ Dodo. DJ Dori? What's your name? What's your DJ name?
DJ.
Well, DJ started spinning the single soundtrack. So here's what one listener wrote. I'm catching up on the pod and just listened to the mini app where you had your amazing singles tangent. I'm from Seattle, and a few years ago, I nearly moved into the singles building. The building and the apartments look exactly the same as they do in the movie, and the building manager is a really nice, nutty guy. I was only 4 years old in 1992, but the soundtrack still makes me feel so nostalgic. The apartment was not in great shape, but I almost moved in just because I wanted to say that I lived in the singles building right next door to Steve's place. One fun fact, my grade school art teacher's son is Mike McCready from Pearl Jam, and the guys from the band used to come and visit us in her classes. She retired from teaching to join them on their world tour in the late 90s. What a cool mom and teacher.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I started Googling like Pearl Jam picks in 1992 and remembering how like I crushed on all of those gentlemen.
Sure.
Also remembering the high Doc Martens with white scrunched socks and like shorts look. Mm. Remember that? Like that's what Eddie Vedder wore. And that's what I was physically attracted to as a 12-year-old.
Wow. That explains a lot.
Does it really?
I mean.
You didn't crush on Eddie Vedder?
I wasn't that into Eddie Vedder. I don't, you'd think I would be. I wasn't, I like Pearl Jam.
I thought, I 100% thought this was going to be a space where we communed and you also crushed on him.
He was not really my jam. Wow, you all just snarfed smoothie.
First DJ DJ and now a pun, a Pearl Jam pun. It's all too much. It's too much. It's too early in the day for this.
Sorry. That's you're right. Okay. No. I'll rein it in.
No, don't. Unleash it. This is my favorite. Interesting. We got a very specific recommendation for you.
We did. That I'm excited.
I loved. Okay, here. I'm going to play this voicemail.
Hey, Kate and Dory. I was just listening to episode 82 while I was running my work errands, which to run work errands on a beautiful sunny day, I'm like, yes, sign me up. And then I can listen to your podcast. It's very fun. Anyway, I was listening to it, and I was at the part where, Dory, you had your little slip with the water from the dog bowl, and I wanted to tell you about something I just bought, and it's a total game changer. It's called a Vitalumis Splash-Free Dog Water Bowl, and you find it on Amazon. It is total game changer. I just bought it for our new dog, and there are no spills anywhere. It's amazing. I didn't even know this thing existed. I wish I would have known it with my last dog. So if you are looking for an alternative to a traditional water dish, again, it's called a Vitalumis Splash-Free Pet Bowl, and you can find it on Amazon. I hope that helps you. I hope you recover quickly from your bumps and bruises, and I love listening to your guys' podcast. I've been with you since your very first episode, and it's just so fun. I feel like I'm listening to my girlfriends, just having a great conversation, and I hope that someday you would come visit our beautiful state of Montana. All right. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
I would love to visit the beautiful state of Montana.
The Big Sky State?
Yes.
I also would love to. Have you been there before?
No.
I have in college, so I'm long overdue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We would love to come to Montana.
A friend of the pod, Ann Helen Peterson, lives in Montana.
That's right.
We'll just stay with her.
Hey, Ann.
Hi, Annie.
Here we come.
They just got another dog.
I know. They have beautiful dogs.
Named Steve.
That's a great name for
a
dog.
It's a great dog name.
Just always shouting, Steve.
Yeah. Sit, Steve. Sit.
Good dog. I'm looking at this water dish.
It's a couple other people recommended it.
The specific one, the Vitalumis?
Yes, I believe it's the same one.
It's only $16.99.
Yeah.
Are you going to get it?
I might. I'm thinking about it.
I mean, that you do have a lovely but slobbery dog.
He is lovely but slobbery.
I'd be curious how this bowl would work. Have you had any more incidents where you've fallen since?
No, but I've gotten more careful.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really trying not to rush, you know?
Sure.
Just trying to take it slow and wear grippy-soled shoes in the kitchen.
The things we do for our animals.
I mean,
can we just say,
what do I not do for my animals?
I mean, truly, I'm looking at mine right now.
Oh, loose goose.
She lives a freaking life of luxury.
Oh, she sure does.
Like, she is.
But you know what? She deserves it.
Does she, though? I'm not entirely convinced always with her. Anyway.
Well, thank you for the rec and for the invitation, listener.
Yeah.
We'll see you in Montana. I wonder where in Montana she lives.
It all seems great.
It does.
Helena, Billings.
Missoula.
Bozeman.
Look at us just naming cities in Montana.
We showed you. We know limited geography. No, I would like to go to Montana. And my daughter has like a bucket list of going to every state.
Oh, cool.
Which I feel like it would be a good thing for us to all to do.
Yeah. You know, I think Matt has been to every state except Alaska. And there's like one other random one, like South Dakota or something.
That's impressive at like a young age.
Well, you know, he toured for a long time.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And he's done some like cross-country road trips.
Okay.
I have not been many places in our great country.
Well, maybe we'll hit the road in like an RV and just pot it up around America.
Could Henry come?
Yes, of course.
Okay, great.
Obviously.
He's rolling now.
Yeah, he's going to just roll into Montana. Would you like to hear another voicemail?
Then? I would love that.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Jocelyn in Colorado. I'm out for a hike with my dog and my toddler is listening to your latest mini ep, in which a listener called up asking about how to gauge the worth of putting effort into making new friends when they aren't, when they don't reciprocate. And so I was listening to this, I was thinking, I've been reflecting lately that I'm not good at reciprocating. Almost every time that I get together with a friend, they initiate it, and oftentimes people initiate things and I say I'll reschedule and then I don't. And I just wanted to say that I like all these people and I want to spend time with all of these people. And I don't know why it is that it never occurs to me to initiate things. I think partially because I'm very busy. And you know, if that's the case with some of these people that this listener has reached out to, maybe they're not available to be the kind of friend that he or she is looking for, he or she or they. And that's possible. But I just wanted to say that for everyone who has tried to initiate hanging out with me, I like them. I think they're cool. I want to hang out with them. And just a little note to not take it personally. And, you know, some people are good at initiating, and some people, myself, are not. I'm not totally sure why, but I'm sure that a lot of these people really enjoy hanging out with you and maybe are missing that bone. So that is all. Good luck making friends. It's such a great thing to do with so much intention, so I'm sure that it will work out well for you.
I could really hear her hiking.
She was hiking at quite a clip.
Yeah, she really was.
We were power walking up that mountain. My hiking would have been like, bronk, bonk.
Yeah, I probably would have made that call beneath a tree or something.
I would have been in my car.
Yes, yeah. Or that.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Listener, way to like triple task.
Yeah.
Because that listener called us, was listening to the podcast and called us while on a hike with their dog and their toddler.
Yes.
How do you do it?
That seems like a lot.
Maybe that, like, yeah, that, who has time to make friends when you're doing all of that at once?
This call was interesting to me.
Tell me why, Dory.
I'm trying to unpack how I feel about it.
Uh-oh. DJ has arrived.
Did you guys hear Sammy giggling in the background?
That got a Sammy laugh.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that this caller clearly has the best of intentions, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and is very busy, has at least one child and a dog. And she says she's very busy. But it reminded me a little bit of people who are always late.
Go on.
It was like a little bit like, you're just expecting everyone else to do all the work for you. Oh, I'm sorry. I know that's harsh.
Well, I think if your vibe is like, I do want to hang out, I just don't know why I'm not the person who makes the calls, and you know that is who you are.
But she also says, like, she admits that she flakes a lot and then doesn't reschedule.
Sometimes that's just who people are. And yeah, it's not done out of malice.
No, of course.
I know you don't think that.
I don't think it's done out of malice.
Well, it's interesting you bring up lateness, because that was one of your earliest intentions. Yes. Was to stop being late.
Yeah, and I had to really like look deep inside myself and say, like, why am I always late? And yes, it is disrespectful to other people. And like today, I had to fucking scramble to get here on time. Like,
and you made it.
My morning was chaotic. I pumped in the car. Like, it was an effort to get here on time, and I was here on time. And like, I don't know. This listener sounds very sweet and kind, and I'm not saying this to impugn her, but I do feel like there's a touch more self excavating she could be doing about why she never wants to initiate these hangouts or, you know, these things with her friends that she says she really wants to do. And it's like, I also kind of believe that, like, ultimately you do what you want to do. And her actions are kind of speaking louder than her words, I think.
I wish.
I'm making the cringe emoji.
Dory is almost hiding under the table.
Because I feel bad saying this because, I, like you said, I don't think she's a malicious person. And I don't think she's like doing this out of, you know.
Well, do you think also we get used to the roles that we play?
Yes.
In relationships?
1,000%.
And that role, like, it can be the same even with different group friends. Like, I'm definitely kind of the same in my, like, high school group of friends that mm-hmm. I am in my college. Like,
yep.
I have the same role. So I wonder if, too, there's a little bit of that where, like, we get very comfortable in
and
our patterns of behavior.
Maybe it's not an issue, but it sort of sounds like her friends... I got the sense that her friends have said feel that it might be an issue. I could be wrong here. I could be totally wrong and everything is fine. So ignore me if that is the case.
Also, we're all coming at things like friendship and making friends and how we do it in our own way.
Yeah.
And like, I definitely have some, like, I am not good at remembering the birthdays. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of anxiety over that. I forget to text back. I do a lot of that. And I've had to, this year I had to do a little bit of, or I started to do a little bit of soul searching about why that is and how I can make some changes so that I am the friend I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've been feeling kind of crappy about some of the balls that I have personally dropped.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's very hard. It's like easy to identify the ways in which we may not like, you know, step up how we want. But it's hard. It's very hard to change.
I agree.
Who we are in our bones.
Yes.
That is freaking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
Gather our thoughts.
Great.
And come back and hear another voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying.
I love it. It's so easy to use. And I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Nice. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
All right, so we are going to change course.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
I'm ready.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I am calling you from just outside my local branch of the San Francisco Public Library, about to return the copy of Startup that I borrowed from there last week, and I just loved it. Dory, this book is amazing, and I just wanted to say thank you for putting something so fun and intriguing into the world. A few years ago, when I went back to work, this was in 2014, after staying home and raising my three kids and building a career out of the volunteerism that I had done in local public schools here in San Francisco, I went back into the world of the co-working space, and I felt so old. And I just loved the Sabrina character and how she really felt out of place and how she was just trying to navigate what the world looks like now and all of the missteps and complications that her life as a mother and a wife has in it. And so I just wanted to tell you that. And also, after listening to the mini app this morning, I'm looking for a replacement for the Kiehl's original eye makeup remover, which I loved so much, and I just miss. There's nothing like it on the market that I have found, and I'm wondering if your listeners have a recommendation. So have a great Tuesday, and I'll be listening soon. Bye.
Ooh. I'd love to know why the Kiehl's eye remover was so great.
Me too.
Eye makeup remover was so great.
Me too. It made me want to go buy that one.
Well, it doesn't exist anymore.
I guess not. No, but I love Clinique's eye makeup remover.
Mm,
love, love, love.
A classic.
Take the day off. It goes, it's nice. It doesn't, I have very sensitive eyes. Doesn't bug my sensitive eyes. Do you use an eye makeup remover?
No, I just use micellar water.
That doesn't get it all off for me. Mm. I need something more. Mm. Like I like an oil cleanser, but I do, when I'm really trying to get all the gunk off my eyes, I recommend Clinique, dear listener.
Yeah, I might check that out.
But somebody, I'm sure someone has a suggestion out there. Also, Kiehl's, what's up? Bring it back.
Yeah, come on, Kiehl's.
Take away. I mean, I don't know, why'd you do it?
All right.
Dory, take it away.
Okay. Do you have any good recommendations for how to get over a big breakup? For background, I'm 33 and have actually been divorced once and separately ended a 5-year relationship, but both were made more manageable by just jumping into something new. Right now, I'm in the midst of a breakup with someone with whom I had a short relationship, only about 6 months, but whom I thought I would marry one day. He was literally everything I never knew I wanted before we met, and I fell totally head over heels. Some things have happened, and we are no longer together, but I'm still crazy in love with him. My question is, what do I do to move on? I find myself being reminded of him literally everywhere I go around my neighborhood and even around my house. I need help. Any thoughts or maybe ways you got over breakups before you both met your husbands? Anything you have to say, I'm sure will help. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm also sorry. Breakups suck, mm-hmm. No matter if you initiate it, if you're on the receiving end, if it's short, long. It always sucks.
Yeah.
I will say, one thing I noticed in my second reading of this is that you said your breakups, your divorce, and then your 5-year relationship were made more manageable by just jumping into something new.
I was going to point that out myself.
So my advice to you would be to not jump into something mm-hmm. new. It's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be painful.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss this person. Yep. Everything's going to remind you. You're going to want to be with them or be in a relationship. See if you can just date yourself for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Fall in love with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I realize I sound like a cartoon self-help guru. But in all seriousness, I do think getting, and you may never fully be comfortable on your own or being single or whatever it is, but finding space to just be thinking about you, sitting in the discomfort and the grief, and then focusing on yourself, I think would be really, may not help you get over it, but I think it would be the right way to go about dealing with things.
Yeah.
DJ, DJ, what's your thought?
You're really trying to make DJ, DJ happen.
Well, can I tell you on Fuller House? I don't know if you've watched Fuller House.
I have not.
Well, Stephanie Tanner mm-hmm. becomes DJ. A DJ. Mm-hmm. And her DJ name is DJ Tanner, which is her older sister. Mm-hmm. And it's this mm-hmm. great, mm-hmm. hilarious mm-hmm. joke in the first episode. And I just think about it all the time. So now you're DJ, DJ.
Yeah, I was also going to highlight that as a, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it could also help to throw yourself into some sort of physical activity, whether it's getting really into yoga or dance or training for a marathon,
powerlifting,
just something that is kind of goal oriented, where you can focus on it. Could be really helpful, I find.
What about volunteering?
Volunteering, sure.
Channel your energy into helping others. God, do I sound insufferable? Dory literally just gave me a look.
No, I think that's a great idea, but I think it's unrealistic to expect someone to volunteer like every day.
Right, and then to like break up and then be like, I know what I'm going to do. Here I go.
But I think volunteering is a great idea, but I think the nice thing about physical activity is it is often something you can do every day.
True. Find time to do it.
Find time to do it. You can focus on it. You can kind of see your progress, which is very rewarding. So maybe do both.
And good luck to you.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Or you could volunteer with like one of those organizations, like Back on Your Feet.
Or you could like volunteer at like a team and training type thing.
That's what, Back on Your Feet is, it gets unhoused people to run marathons.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Here's another email.
Okay.
Longtime listener finally writing in. I listened to the most recent mini-ep on my way to work today, kind of responding to the life figured out in your 40s portion. I am only 30 and was feeling like I finally had everything figured out. I have been married for 4.5 years and have 2 kids and a great husband. We made some stupid choices right after we got married and had a lot of debt. Filed bankruptcy this year and finally have everything under control. Moving to a new town closer to where we both work and have 2 amazing kids. Now, I may only be 30 and thought we were on a good track. Keyword thought. My husband recently came out to me as transgender. I want to be supportive and don't plan on going anywhere. He is starting hormones this week and we are moving this week. I'm the only person other than his boss that he has told. We are keeping it from our families until we have to tell them, ideally after the holidays. I feel like this is a curveball at everything we had figured out. How would you recommend being as supportive as possible through all of these changes? I know we may lose some family through this. Dory, we have played with the idea of starting a podcast, similar take as Excellent Adventure, as far as just talking about the process and being there for people going through something similar. Is this a horrible idea? Any advice from yourselves or other listeners would be appreciated.
Well, I think you're already being a really supportive partner.
Yeah.
Just by being open to this and, you know, wanting to hear about other people's experiences. I think that's really great. In terms of starting a podcast, I mean, I'm on board for anyone starting podcasts, especially when we're kind of talking about like difficult situations. The one thing I will say is like, if you start a podcast, it's going to be out there and your whole situation is going to be very public, for better and for worse. Like, I think it will genuinely help a lot of people, but also it will be very public and there will be times maybe when you don't want to talk about some stuff, but you have sort of put yourself in a situation where you have to. So I would just say for you and your partner, just have some like good conversations about that, about whether you're ready for that and kind of putting yourself under the microscope, and also think about your kids. You know, do you want their lives kind of out there in this way as well?
I also think there's other ways. If you don't go the podcast route, you could even do an Instagram in which you talk about your experience, or a website or whatnot. I would also say, like, for yourself and for your partner, I would recommend individual therapy and couples therapy. Again, not an expert. I certainly have never experienced a partner transitioning, but I think making sure that you have support as their spouse, and then also that your partner has support, and then that you together are working with someone as a team, I think is really important. And also I did do a little Googling, which obviously anyone can do. And there are tons of support groups available both online and in person, depending on where you're located. So I think that could also be really, really helpful.
But I'd love to hear from listeners who have been in this situation, or maybe who have transitioned themselves with a partner.
Without
a partner, just kind of how that went, maybe how your partner was supportive, or how they could have been more supportive, or if you are a partner of someone who transitioned, how you supported your partner.
And supported yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd love to hear from listeners about that.
Because we are definitely neither of us have gone through this.
No. No. All right. Should we take another break?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So we have one final email to discuss. I'm going to read it.
Great.
I was wondering what you think about a self-care dilemma I have been having. I was recently diagnosed with IBS and have to follow a very restrictive, low FODMAP diet to keep my symptoms at bay. Even when I am 100% perfect with the diet, I can still have horrible flare-ups with a lot of gross and not fun symptoms I will spare you the details of. The hardest part is that I absolutely love food, and it has always been my number one comfort. Cooking elaborate meals or going out and trying new and delicious things to eat are favorite things in the world. I love food. My problem is that because eating something delicious with abandon has been a self-care practice for years, parentheses, not binging, just eating something truly delicious and getting lost in it, I can no longer do it without breaking my IBS-approved diet and suffering the consequences. I break the diet and tell myself it is for my mental health, but then my physical health suffers. Have you had any experience where something you do for self-care has become self-harm? Any advice for how to deal with this?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's got to be a really big adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And finding, or maybe, well, I have two thoughts. One, I think discovering what other things that bring you joy and self-care and focusing on those things, it's like a readjustment on what you lean on.
Yep.
But that might be something you have to do. And then also, I have never been on a FODMAP diet. I know there are very specific foods to avoid because it will then, like you said, cause flare-ups, and those symptoms sound really uncomfortable. But I wonder if there's a way, and I believe there are a lot of blogs and websites where people who are on a FODMAP diet share recipes, and maybe there can still be joy
Kate, I was going to say the same thing.
Well, then take it away from
no,
here.
No, no, go on.
I mean, just there can still maybe like learning a new way to cook and to work within these restrictions that you have and still finding a way for it to be delicious and get lost in it. Now, again, I don't have to practice this way of eating. I don't know for sure, but maybe that exists. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and like pretend that it's going to be the same as like being able to go out and eat whatever you want. Of course it's not.
Right.
But maybe there's a way for you to kind of get lost in the challenge of creating delicious food that still adheres to your diet.
I just did a quick Google, and for example, I found on the website Greatest low FODMAP recipes that won't make you feel limited.
Well, there you go.
I feel like one of the good positives of the internet is that we can find communities, and I bet your people are out there. Foodies, FODMAP foodies have to be out there. In fact, I bet someone's listening right now who might be able to
raise your hand, FODMAP foodie.
Call us in and let us know. 'Cause listener, I bet we can find your people. And this sounds really, really hard. Have you ever had something that you do for self-care become self-harm? That's a very specific question. I don't think I have that experience.
Either. Oh, actually, I kind of did. Like when I first started running, I got a stress fracture because I like overtrained and wasn't eating well enough.
That's really interesting. I exercise for me too. Yeah. Like I've had to readjust how I do it so it doesn't hurt my body. I'm actually kind of dealing with that right now.
Oh,
listener, you've made me think about this. Yeah. Well,
I bet there's also Facebook groups.
Oh, yes. And maybe you're already in them and you're still feeling this way. So
but
I'm sorry.
Maybe you're not.
And again, I mean, look, we're going to suggest therapy all the time,
yeah.
but there is a real grief aspect to this.
Totally.
And you're also dealing with really serious physical symptoms, and that can be really challenging. So like get into it with a therapist.
Yeah.
Or if you have the means, you could also work with a nutritionist who might be able to provide you with like recipes that fit this way of eating that are still pleasurable. On that note, we are going to sign off.
Yes.
On this Hear Mini episode. Thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you.
Dory, thanks for DJing. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.